We are very fortunate to have tonight with us Rabbi Yisroel Wenick, who's the 8th grade Rebbe in Yeshiva Tano. Any of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yisroel Wenick, the parents could tell you the chius that he puts into to Gemara learning is so readily apparent in the Talmidim and everyone that knows him. So it's really he happens to sit near us night Seder, and we asked him already 6 months ago to speak by the last scene. He wasn't able to. I think that night he had a Sudas HaYidah. But tonight we got him, and please give him your attention for a few minutes.
Took my notes, so I shouldn't think I'm texting while I speak. I'll text while I drive, but I won't text while I speak. It's too dangerous. Emshel Lachal Moshel. Imagine, you know, you're leaving for shul Friday night, and you tell your wife, you know, it's a quiet shop, it's just the family, we're going paper, no dishes, and, you know, I'm going to daven yeshiva, I'm going to bring home a couple of bachrim, you know, bachrim, they eat anything, a couple of bachrim, you tell me before, it's just a couple of guys, come on, just set a couple more, you know, a couple more paper plates. Okay, fine, your wife swallows it. You come home after davening, and you have behind you this couple and their four kids, like the classiest couple, excuse me, right out of Borough Park. And Shabbat Shabbos, these are our guests. Shimi, this is a total mekach toish. Shimi tells me, just, you know, you speak, it's a small siyum, and, you know, I figured the balabatim and the chever that sit next to me at night in BTU, and I come here, and there's a house filled with choshev b'nei tayr, choshev balabatim. So the whole zach is a mekach tois, but I'm here. I'm standing. I'm not backing down. So I hope I could serve you something special. First of all, just as a way of introduction, like I feel like, you know, in a campaign. So you have, you know, the Republicans, the Democrats. I'm from the Daf Yomi camp. I started doing Daf Yomi. And I feel like here I'm on Daf HaShavua, I'm like, I'm not sure. I'm from the Daf Yomi camp, and I'm speaking about Daf HaShavua. But, yeah, I understand. So, Baruch Hashem, Shimi was mechavin me just to say a few words on this unbelievable momentous year. Before I just say, you know, the machshava that I had, that I wanted to, the feelings that I had, I just wanted to say two things. We just finished Messiah Shkolim. So, you know, I told my brother-in-law Yaakov Levy when we were dancing just before, I said, at least I also finished Golem Daf Yaini. So I feel like I was also, but two things I took away from Masechta Shkolim. First thing, the first limud that I had from Masechta Shkolim is I feel if somebody's going to open up a maisid, he has to learn Masechta Shkolim. Just the way every penny was oisgecheshbind in the Beis HaMikdash, and nothing went to waste. There was no such thing as just like, you know, they paid for some karbonis and they dumped the change in a change cup, and everything, mom and hektish, every single penny was accounted for. And if not for this year, for last year, and all the shaylas, to me it was an unbelievable limud. To me it was like, anybody that's going to open up a maaser, or anybody that's going to be involved in yeshivas and in mom and hektish, to learn Masechta Shkolim, even just the Mishnayos, and walk away knowing what it means to be Achroi for Mom and Hektish. That was was one limud I walked away with in Masechta Shkolim. And the other limud, Shimi mentioned, I'm a 7th grade Rebbe, not an 8th grade Rebbe, and, no, from, and they, you know, the truth is really, the truth is, that's how I heard that, the truth is really, you know, the 7th grader is still, seven, it still has to call us a Gemara, right? Boys really start learning Gemara a little bit in 5th grade. 6th, 7th grade is still has to call us a Gemara. So 7th grade Rebbe, you know, and many of us as parents could identify to this. We're learning with our kids. We're, you know, come on! I learned Masechta Shkolim. I felt like a 7th grader. Yerushalmi. I couldn't get the flow. You know, Shimi's little secret was the Goyin. My little secret was the art scroll. I'm like, how many times me and my chavrusim said to each other, like, I know what a kid feels like now. So anyway, welcome back to Bavli. Mirtz Hashem, you're back in familiar territory. You're back in Yuma. But to me, it was an unbelievable limud. It was an unbelievable limud just to see, you know, to see what a kid feels like. I actually, just a few weeks ago, It's interesting that there was a columnist in the Mishpacha magazine, Eitan, how do you pronounce his last name?
Kobri
or something. So he actually wrote about Daf HaShavua. He writes that he himself said a Daf Yomi one full cycle. He said a Daf Yomi Shir. And I thought it was very nice. I clipped it out. And he, just to read you a couple of sentences, he writes, but such a cycle is precisely what a program called Daf HaShavua is follows. In other words, at one daf a week, 52-year cycle till you finish Shas. Perhaps it's more accurate to say that it seeks to wean its participants away from a cycle mindset and from the culture in which all learning is geared toward the Siyub. It strives to get them off the treadmill and into savoring their learning at a slower pace, one that allows for more depth and for regular built-in review. So that was a nice way of being magder. Gets you off the treadmill, right? In other words, it's slow. You get to savor the daf. You get to rehash. And just to quote another couple sentences, there are people who can't bear to watch the fabulous riches of sugya after sugya fly past them on their trek through Shas at whirlwind speed. I don't think at all he's knocking daf yayim, but I think he's just saying a fact. And they feel that they must somehow also find the time for another slower Seder. I just thought that was also a very nice way of, verbalizing Daf HaShavua. Time to slower. Time to savor. You're not running to make the Siyum. The Siyum, of course, is always the exciting part. But the idea of just going through a Daf HaShavua and having the leisure of being able to go over a Shvera Gemara, if you want to see a Taisvis, go more in depth, is an unbelievable thing. I just wanted to say over a beautiful story and a tremendous limud, I think, from the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus says, fascinating story, Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were sitting and learning, they must have been learning for many, many years, and they ran out of money. The Chikaluhu Milsa, the Gemara says, they were very poor. So they said to each other, okay, we got no money left, so let's get up and let's go to business. That's it. We got no choice. Our days in Kailo are over. They even quoted a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki lo yieh b'cha evyayin. There shouldn't be amongst you any poor people. Okay, they got up, they went, and they must have gone on to some business venture. The Gemara tells us that on their way to do business, they sat down under a shaky wall. And they must have sat down there just to get out of the sun for some shade. And they started eating lunch. Two malachim, the Gemara says, came down, and Rabbi Yochanan overhears the conversation between the two malachim. He hears one malach say to the other malach, let's topple the wall on these two people, because they left chaye olam haba, they left a life of olam haba, and they're just being Isaac in business, so let's topple the wall on them and kill them. The other malach said back, no. Leave them alone, because one of these two is destined for greatness. So Gemara continues the story. Rabbi Yochanan heard this conversation between the two malachim, and Ilfa did not. So Rabbi Yochanan turns to Ilfa, and he says, did you hear that? And Ilfa says, no, I didn't hear nothing. And Rabbi Yochanan said to himself, it seems to himself, Midashama ana, since I heard the conversation, and Ilfa did not, Shmamina, I could see from here that I must be the one that's destined for greatness. Rabbi Yochanan got up and he told Ilfa, sorry, I can't join you. I'm going back to the Beis Medrash. You're more than welcome to join me. And if anything, the Pasuk says, he quoted another Pasuk that says, Ki lo yechtal evyoin mikarev haaretz. It means poor people will never stop. There will always be poor people. So I'm going to be poor. I'm going back to the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yochanan went back to the Beis Medrash. Ilfa continued. The Gemara tells us that by the time Ilfa got back, it doesn't say how long Ilfa was out doing business, apparently some extended period of time. By the time Ilfa got back, Rabbi Yochanan was Rosh Hashiva, and Rashi brings that when they hired you as a Rosh Hashiva, then they supported you, you had full support. It's Kedai. Rabbi Yochanan was the Rosh Hashiva, and Ilfa came back as a regular person. Omru Loi, they said to Ilfa, I osiv mar vigoris. Ilfa, if you would have come back and you would have learned,
Lo yabi mim lechmar.
Rav Yochanan would not have been the Rosh Hashiva. You would have been the Rosh Hashiva. And then the Gemara goes on and finishes a little bit more of the story, but that's what's Negeah for us. So, it's a fascinating story. Question. Well, how did this happen? How did this happen that Rav Yochanan heard the conversation and Ilfa did not? So I once heard of Pshat, you know, even if we don't think it's Pasha Pshat, but at least Al Pidrush. You could have two people that leave the Beis Medrash and go to work. One person, he's gone, that's it. I learned my couple years in Kailal, 2, 3, 5 years in Kailal. Now I'm going to work. Then you can have a person who leaves the Beis Medrash, going to work, but he's always listening. He's always listening for that voice that's going to call him back into the Beis Medrash. He's always looking for that excuse that's going to bring him back into the Beis Medrash. Could be that that was the difference, maybe in a minute way, between Ilfa and Rav Yochanan. When Rav Yochanan left the Beis Medrash to go do business, he left it, but he was, you know, he left it. Like, but he was waiting for that voice, right? It's like when you walk away from something, but you're waiting for someone to call you back. He was waiting to be called back in the Beis Medrash. He never left that Beis Medrash. And therefore, he was zeiche to hear the conversation, which Ilfa was not. That's my feeling when I speak to such a chabura of Chashal Balabatim. You know, for me, I get to sit next to Shimi. I get to watch Shimi in action and to watch the whole Daf Shavua, at least in BTU, watch it unfold. And to me, I see a bunch of Balabatim that, yes, they left the Beis Medrash to go to work, but they haven't stopped. They're listening for that voice to bring them back into the Beis Medrash. As the Pasuk says, by Matan Torah, Koil Gadol, the Lo Yosef. And Rashi says, Lo Yosef, according to one Pshat Rashi, means that the Koil of Matan Torah never ended. It never ended. And sitting here, it's a kavod for me to speak to Balabatim and Bnei Torah, that are always listening for that Koil Gadol, that they're always waiting and they're listening to that voice of Matan Torah, looking for every excuse to pull them back into the Beis Medrash. My bracha is that Kishem Shasayamta Mesechta Zu, tremendous, tremendous accomplishment, and again, savored slowly, not rushing for the finish line. So the Rabbeinu Shleilam should bench everybody, Befrat. Rabbi Yishlam should continue giving Shimi the Koyach to continue pushing through this tremendous project, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if it's a project, but Limud. And you should continue to be Messiah many, many more Mesechtas.